The word brahmacharya in Sanskrit tells us a few very important concepts. First, there is Brahman, the spiritual platform, and the word charya comes from the word kara, or to do. A brahmachari is someone who does something on the spiritual platform. By the definition of the word brahmachari or brahmacharya or brahmachari ashram, they are all these words, Sanskrit words, tell us the main idea of brahmachari life is to be absolutely free for spiritual life. Sometimes in the concept of movement like ISKCON, where there are different orders of life, we lose this meaning of this word. We think a brahmacharya or brahmachari is not a grihastha, or we think a brahmachari is someone who is not yet a grihastha. This is sometimes how we think in a a society like ISKCON about the brahmachari ashram, because by statistical numbers we have seen that most of the devotees who were in the brahmachari ashram later became grihasthas. This is a valuable perspective on brahmachari life, because it's a perspective which is also there in the Vedic culture. You know, first a person is encouraged to enter the student life, and most of the students or the brahmacharis are not lifelong brahmacharis, but there are different lengths. There is a brahmachari for 14 days, that is a person who goes on pilgrimage, which lasts 14 days, and there's a brahmachari for 1 month and for a couple of years. But most of the brahmacharis do enter into the grihastha ashram. But I would like to bring your attention to something else. I would like to say, if you to draw your attention to the point, what is conferred with the word brahmachari or brahmachari ashram, and what is conferred with this word this is a person who acts on the spiritual level, and he is free to act on the spiritual level, because that is all he can give his whole attention to. This, he's actually not at all entangled in other concerns, for instance, like taking care of a family, which is a great work in this Kali Yuga. So I feel in this definition of brahmachari life, we can see also the glory of brahmachari, the brahmachari ashram, the great advantage of the brahmachari ashram, the great promise of the brahmachari ashram. Yes, you have heard correctly. The promise of the brahmachari ashram is given in the second chapter of the Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami says the spiritual world is meant for those who keep the great vow. Eli, you are a little tired. Please breathe properly, then the tiredness will go. Spiritual world is meant for those who have nothing else in their mind, who are free from all other concerns, and who have taken the vow of brahmachari life. So, now, if you want to be a brahmachari, and want to be happy as a brahmachari, it's very, very important that you understand the meaning of the word brahmachari to mean you have to be active on the spiritual platform. A brahmachari who can fill his mind with study, with Krishna Katha, with the nectar of the scriptures, can be a true brahmachari. A brahmachari who fills his words with spiritual discussions, with preaching, he can be a true brahmachari. And a brahmachari who engages his body in the service of his Guru Maharaj, he can also be a true brahmachari. But a brahmachari, Hare Krishna, oh, Vairagi Bhai, brother in renunciation. There is all the room in the world for a saint like you. The four directions will serve you to make room. Please sit with us.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Om Maharaj. You feel
I've just interrupted everything.
No, you have enhanced everything. So let us continue. To be a true brahmachari, we have to learn how to maximize our engagement on the spiritual platform. And our engagement on the spiritual platform means we have to think what we will do with our mind on the spiritual platform. We have to think about what we will do with our words and with our body. Tomorrow, when we enter the sessions on brahmachari training, we will talk about how to engage body, mind, and words on the spiritual platform. But this evening, I just want to give you a little shock. I know that you are tired and you have just arrived here, and the attention span should not be overly tortured. So I will read to you something which I do hope will bring you to consider things a little bit. There is a very interesting discussion about King Jayati in the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. King Jayati married the beautiful daughter of Shukracharya called Damayanti. And he had given a promise to Damayanti that he would never engage in an intimate relationship in another with another woman. However, King Jayati, who was a Kshatriya, felt attracted to Samishta and became. And when Samishta requested him for progeny, for children, he couldn't say no, and he gave her children and enjoyed with her. So when Damayanti found this out, she went with tears in her eyes to her father Shukracharya and said, "My husband has broken his promise to me. Do something, father." And Shukracharya cursed Maharaj Jayanti to lose his youth, and with his youth, all his abilities to engage in lusty activities. He didn't have any longer a chance for sex life because his body would no longer function in that way. He was too old. So Maharaj Jayati felt very, very sad and incapacitated, and went to his sons in order to request one of them to exchange his youth with his old age. And in the purport, there is an interesting subject which is raised, which I want to bring to your attention. I will challenge all of your brahmachari ashram. In the words of Prabhupada, I will say you stand no chance, just to wake you up. You stand no chance to be brahmacharis. It's all a fake. This is called preaching by stimulating the person's thought process. Huh? Hare Krishna.
Loving exchange.
This
that stimulated everyone's thought.
Yes. That, Radhana Maharaj is always supporting me. you are now stimulated. Yes. No, please, this is important that everyone is with the subject. The ultimate principle of religion is to engage oneself in devotional service to the Lord. Maharaj Yadu, this is one of the sons of Jayati, who was approached to give his youth in exchange to Yayati's old age, Maharaj Yadu was very eager to engage himself in the Lord's service. But there was an impediment. During youth, the material desire to enjoy the material senses is certainly present. I don't know if you know about this desire. Or is it maybe a forbidden subject? Okay, let us not look at you then. During youth, the material desire to enjoy the material senses is certainly present. And unless one fully satisfies these lusty desires in youth, there's a chance of one's being disturbed in rendering service to the Lord. Now, Prabhupada is reviewing his own experience with his young renunciants in the sannyas ashram. He says, we have actually seen that many sannyasis who accept sannyas prematurely, not having satisfied their material desires, fall down because they are disturbed. Therefore, the general process is to go through grihastha life and vanaprastha life, and finally come to sannyas and devote oneself completely to the service of the Lord. So, what is important here, I feel, is Prabhupada's observation that in young age, most of you are young, this is something for you, the material desires are very strong. Prabhupada says, unless they are satisfied, it happens that when you get old or elderly, then all of a sudden you feel, there's something which I didn't do. I marry. And then it's a little bit too late. You are elderly and you are not able now to satisfy your desires any longer. So therefore, Prabhupada once on this idea gave a lecture in Tompkinson Square Park. My dear young boys, young American boys and girls, you should all marry. This is what was his message. So the question is, in this light, understanding this, what is the justification or what is the reason for someone to enter the brahmachari ashram? Is it just a temporary ashram, a waiting lounge for the grihastha life, or what is it? It's very important that you all think about these things, that you are seeing the broader perspective and find where you fit into this broader perspective. I will now attempt to answer this question. There are different forms of brahmachari life. Brahmachari life is usually in the Vedic society offered to young men who have the chance to really dedicate their body, minds and words in spiritual life so that they will become spiritually mature. The brahmachari ashram is usually a student ashram which is offered for a certain amount of time to train people in the art and sciences of spiritual life. If you are in brahmachari life, you should take full advantage of this aspect because that's where the ashram is meant for. Now from this ashram, from this general learning period, you can go in one of two directions. You can go into the grihastha life, or you can stay a lifelong brahmachari. Today, I would like to tell you a very, very nice verses from the Bhagavatam, which will actually encourage you to seriously consider a life of renunciation. The reason why I want to tell about this is because most, if you are brahmachari, you should have in mind that I want to stay brahmachari for a long period of time, as long as Krishna permits me to be in this. You should not already meditate about the grihastha ashram. You should know it could come, and you could position yourself and ask your heart where you fit in, but you should take full advantage of the training period which is offered to you and have your mind free. I will be now in the brahmachari ashram, and that's what I want to think about. That's what I want to do. Maharaj Jayati, after he had sufficiently enjoyed, he came to a conclusion which I want you all to consider at this moment of your life very seriously. He said to Damayanti, after he had received his youth from Puru, his son, and enjoyed with Puru's youth his beautiful wife Damayanti, while Puru was an old man, having Jayati's old age on his back. He said to Damayanti, "O my dear wife with beautiful eyebrows, I'm captivated by your charms, by your beauty, and have forgotten the real task of self-realization. But a person who is lusty cannot satisfy his mind, even as if he has enough of everything in this world, including rice, barley, other food grains, gold, animals, and women. Nothing can satisfy him." And then he brings a point which is very good for brahmachari life to understand. "As supplying butter to a fire does not diminish the fire, but instead increases it more and more, the endeavor to stop lusty desires by continual enjoyment can never be successful. In fact, one must voluntarily cease from material desires." See, no one in the grihastha ashram has ever become satisfied with lusty desires. It does not work. And the example is given, if you supply ghee to a fire, to stop the fire, you are in illusion. It doesn't work like this. The fire will become bigger and bigger and bigger. Any desire which one lives out in the world will create desires which are twice as strong, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur, double as strong as the original desire. You can't satisfy them, Eli. Not possible. You may try, but then after you have attempted so nicely to do it, the same desire to enjoy is twice as strong. Hare Krishna. When a man is non-envious, does not desire ill fortune for anyone, he is equipoised. This is slightly on it. Yayati says from his experience, I have spent a full 1,000 years enjoying sense gratification, yet my desire to enjoy such pleasure increases daily. He's frustrated. Therefore, I shall now give up all these desires and meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, free from the dualities of mental concoction and free from false prestige. I shall wander in the forest with the animals. This is what Jayati said. I believe as Brahmacharis, we should consider these verses very seriously. We should learn from the experience, and we should, when our desires happen in our mind, we should not be so disturbed and think we have to immediately do something upon these desires. Desires cannot be satisfied. They only increase more and more and more and more. And these desires to enjoy the world just cheat us so that we can never ever have Krishna in our heart. A heart which is full of material desires can never be a sitting place for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, whenever I develop material desires in my mind, geared to the material world or towards the opposite sex, I understand it's just a cloud passing in the sky of my mind, and I know by having read such verses as the ones which I read to you that no, I don't have to try to do the impossible, that is to try to pour ghee into the fire of desires so that they become stronger and stronger. Instead, I think let me do the real work which a brahmachari should do, and also a sannyasi, that is, do something on the spiritual platform. Be someone who acts on the platform of Brahman. Do something with my body and with my mind and with my words. And because when Krishna is in the heart, Maya cannot be there. And because I see you are a little tired, I will tell you a fascinating story about this. Do you know why Rama could not kill Ravana for such a long time? The battle continued and continued, and then finally he fought with Ravan, but he sent him home and said, tomorrow we will continue to fight. The reason why Ram could not shoot an arrow on Ravana was because Ravana could only be killed by a shot in the heart, and his heart was full with someone whom Ram could never hurl an arrow upon. The heart of Ravana was all with meditating on one person who happened to be the most dearest person of Rama. Do you know who was in the heart of the sinful wretch Ravan? Sita. How could Rama shoot an arrow into the heart of Ravan? Do you know the sport dart? Playing dart? So these arrows? How do we say
dart?
Dart.
Dart.
Dart. Yes. We throw them and there is a target and we have to hit the target. Imagine you would put in the center of the target the person you like most, a friend of the Brahmachari ashram, or your Guru Maharaj, or a picture of someone, you would not be able to throw the dart. So Rama could not shoot an arrow in the heart of Ravana because Sita was there, the image of Sita. So Rama sent Ravan home, and he thought more and more what to do. The morning he had an idea. He began to, the next morning when Ravana was again on the battlefield, Rama began to shoot arrows of the head to the heads of Ravan, cutting all the heads of Ravan. Now this was not a medical problem for Ravan, because whenever a head was shot away, another head grew. But after this was going on for 1.5 hours or so, I don't know exactly the time, he felt slightly disturbed in his ego. He always shoots away my head. Who does he think he is? This Rama, this is not very polite. And he felt very, very disturbed in his ego. I don't know if you can imagine this. I know if someone would cut my head, and even if the head would grow again, I would feel if this is done repeatedly, it is a slight insult, actually. So, Ravan thought, this Rama is insulting me severely before all his men. In this moment, anger entered his heart. And when anger entered his heart, the beautiful image of Sita was gone. Ram had just waited for that. And when the image of Sita was gone, due to the anger of the proud demon, he shot his arrow. And the arrow went into the heart of the demon, and the blood came gushing forth like a fountain. Tomorrow is another day where we will hear about such things. And the demon was killed. My dear Brahmacharis, why do we tell this Leela? The first reason is to educate you, and the second reason is to make you awake. To educate you, you must know, if you want to be a Brahmachari, Krishna must be in your heart. Then you are invulnerable from the arrows of Kamadev. But if you are not having Krishna in your heart, ooh, 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 you will all be crying for Maya Devi. So be a real Brahmachari and act with your body on the spiritual platform, act with your mind on the spiritual platform, and act with your words on the spiritual platform. Then you are safe, because then Krishna is in your heart and you cannot be destroyed in your spiritual life. This is what I wanted to say. This is how to stay a brahmachari. Even when you are young, in young age, and yes, there are the lusty desires are there. The Greek would say eros pervades every cell of the human body. Hare Krishna. I don't know if this is true, but at least for the Greek it was true. If you want to be a true brahmachari in this life, keep Krishna in your heart. Very important. More important than anything else. In this way you can also stay a brahmachari. This is my little presentation. I do hope that my older brother, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, found this appropriate. And also Chandrasekhar Maharaj, that you have blessed this. This is the end of the presentation. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Did you like the story, Maharaj?
I like everything.
No. Story is wonderful, isn't it?
I felt like you were cutting off my head. No.
Hare Krishna. So how should we proceed now? Let us secretly watch at our wristwatch. It's 9:10. Yes, please, Maharaj. You. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj ki
jai.
Thank you for blessing our... No, please. Krishna. Hare Krishna.
I'm sorry.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.